Blog Talk Radio.
Hype Potato in the chat room. Hype Potato in the chat room. Hype Potato in the chat room.
This is ground control to Major Tom.
Here's the radio happy hour, Dr. Bluffing. Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, Dr. Bluffing. Dr. Bluffing. Freaking news and free guests, north and south and east to west. Put your boundaries to the test with Dr. Bluffing. Well, 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 I'm glad you're here. Well, 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 my name is Dr. Bluffing. Sit on down and here you'll find Dr. Bluffing. If you've got things on your mind, call Dr. Bluffing. Dr. Bluffing. Don't annoy, he'll throw a fit. Verbal chaos is funny shit. Grab a chair, he's on the air. Dr. Bluffing. Here on the radio, happy hour. Here on the radio, happy hour. Dr. Bluffing.
Hype Potato in the chat room.
Welcome, everybody. And how are you today? What's going on here? Y'all hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. I don't want to be scared again. We know what happened last time. Lots of technical difficulties. But just
potato, baby.
What? Potato, yes.
Potato.
I want every once in a while someone to say potato in the chat room just so I know that I'm alive. Last week was wild and woolly. Last week, Jane, you decided to show up.
Well, you know. Yes, I forgot to come last time, but I'm here now. That's all that matters.
I believe you owe the entire show an apology.
I'm sorry, entire show.
Why weren't you here last week?
I don't know. You know, I was washing my hair.
Tell them what you told me.
I forgot.
Vinny, can you imagine this?
I thought she was at the bar that shall not be named.
Oh, that's a good guess, but I actually wasn't. That's the funny part. I would readily admit it if I was. Make for a better story.
Listen, Jane, we're going to have a heart-to-heart right now.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but I work very hard on this program.
Uh-huh.
I work hard week in and week out trying to get the best, most entertaining guests,
mm-hmm.
The most entertaining topics
mm-hmm.
To talk about, to entertain the people. The people who are very important to me.
Yes.
And that's you out there in the chat room and in the on the other side of the speakers. It's kind of hurtful that you would forget to join in something that I thought we were building together.
Well, I am sorry. I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry that I hurt you, Dr. Blogstein.
Could this have been, I mean, did you, like, have a real wild weekend and you lost a day there and you thought maybe it was Monday when it was really Tuesday?
No, I wish that, again, that would have been a way more interesting story rather than me just totally forgetting. If I can make any excuse, I was in Central Park playing touch football. So,
what
is that? And I totally forgot. It went a little late.
You're playing touch football in Central Park?
Yes.
At 9 o'clock at night?
No. Not at 9 o'clock at night, but prior to 9 o'clock at night, I was playing touch football, and then I forgot to call in.
So then you were at a bar after the touch football game. I'm sure you were at a bar somewhere.
I may have been at a bar, but it was not supposed to not be me.
Who do you play touch football with?
I play with people. I know people. I play touch football with
and
people.
And where do they touch you?
Excuse me?
The answer is not Central Park.
I don't think I heard you quite right, Dr. Blogstein.
you have to answer every one of my questions. You owe me.
Oh, really? All right, what do you want to know? Ask me some questions.
Where do they touch you?
Excuse me?
Oh, my God, she's horrible.
Hey, Doc. Doc, yeah. If you're not getting a lot of answers, Nikki Starr in the chat room is in love with you, and she says that you should have her co-host with you, baby.
You know, there's a line of people that want to co-host with me. I'm very loyal to Jane, and I will not replace her ever until she decides that she doesn't want to be here anymore. If that day does come, I will be sad, but I will accept that. But I will not replace her. I'm loyal.
I couldn't even replace you last week, Jane. I tried my hardest, but I couldn't even do it.
You know what else, Vinny? Not only I forgot what I was going to say because you interrupted me, Vinny.
I'm sorry, Doc.
I will let that go because I have more important things to be mad at with Jane. So you get a free pass the whole day. I can't be mad at. Wait, let me bring in Phil.
Please.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, you shouldn't be mad at her. No way.
Oh, thank you, Phil. At least somebody's picking up for me in this
show. This is Ground Control to Major Tom.
Phil,
right.
of all the feedback I got for last week's show, and Jane, you weren't here, there were major technical difficulties, I threw a fit.
Yeah, uh-huh. He did. He got grumpy.
Well, he always throws a fit when there are technical difficulties. That's not new news to me.
Yeah, but it was a pretty rough fit. I yelled at there. You know, I have to apologize to Nikki in the chat room.
You always irrationally yell at people when things go wrong that they have no control.
Well, this wasn't. Well, in fairness to me, Vinny, and you'll back me up, that wasn't irrational. I'm having trouble. I'm doing the show. I didn't say anything funny yet.
Because it sounds like irrational anger to everybody else.
No, Vinny, I'm doing the show, and Vinny was there, and Phil was there too. I'm doing the show, and it's not working. Finally, I get it back on, and Nikki says in the chat room, hey, let's do a test show tomorrow. Like, that's her answer for everything, that anything that goes wrong, let's do a test show. Like, how is it a Bible? Like, I cut my leg off by accident. Oh, let's do a test show. Like, anything that goes wrong, Nikki will suggest a test show.
And that, I take it, as unacceptable.
Of course it's unacceptable. Why am I doing a test show? Okay, look, I'm getting all aggravated all over again.
I know, see?
And I don't have to.
Take a pill and chill out, Doc.
Yeah, you might have to do some yoga later or something.
Last week, someone said, and I think I agree, that Phil is my Cheech. Is Cheech to my Chong.
That's nice.
I thought so. But a lot of the feedback that I got from last week's show was about Phil. People love Phil. People love his singing. Phil,
right.
Would you like to respond?
Yes, uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I missed it.
How does that make you feel, Phil?
Hey, you know what? That isn't the song I was singing. How did you get that now?
That was the song you were singing. I don't have
really?
Any.
I thought I sang that song... oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
That was a couple weeks ago, Phil. You lost
was that one?
That was
2 weeks ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Phil, this is you. I mean, is this not you?
This is Ground Control to Major Tom. Hey, I sang that like that because you was having all kinds of fun with your Blog Talk Radio not working right.
Oh, yeah, it was a blast.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was just so much fun to be able to deal with. Somebody type potato, please.
Type potato in the chat. Hey, Jane.
Yes.
French fries.
I do want to thank you because you did introduce me to one of my new favorite television shows.
Oh yeah, I knew that you would love this one.
Yeah, on your recommendation, I started watching Mad Men. You ever watch that Mad Men show on AMC?
Play some
Vinny?
Skinner, man.
I love Mad Men.
Yeah, me too. I love it too.
And I think I mentioned on Jane's blog that my dad was in advertising. And I used to go to his office, and it was very much like that. And when I first got into the business back in the early 70s, we had a beer machine on our floor. And at 5 o'clock, my vendors used to come in and buy beers, and I would pull out a bottle of Jack Daniels, and we'd start. Now, we didn't start early in the morning, but at 5 o'clock, we'd start in the office.
That's fantastic.
I mean, that show is so, it's, first of all, I told you this weekend, Jane, it's delightfully sexist. Is that, I mean, I wasn't around.
No, that's wrong. That's juvenile and wrong. It's not delightfully fucking sexist. Like, I mean, hello. Like, this is, like, the year 2007, Dr. Blackstein. I'm sick of it. Like, it's not delightfully sexist. It's, like, horribly sexist. Everybody on the Television Without Pity message boards, everybody on the message board says that the racism and the sexism is the most difficult part of the show to watch, yet you seem to enjoy it. I don't know why.
It kind of makes me, and it's a horrible thing to say, so don't shoot me, but it kind of makes me, wait a second, I think our guest is calling me on the cell phone. Oh, boy. Hold on a second. I'm going to speak to the guest on the cell phone. Hello. Oh, hi. You were right the first time when you called into the show. I just, yes. Okay. Yeah. Call back. Right now I'm talking to you on the cell phone while on the air. So the people on the, yeah, call me on the hotline, because the people on the other side don't really hear your side of the conversation right now. Yeah, I'll get to you. Okay. She's so eager to be on the show.
But, you know, Jane, yes, it is very sexist.
Yeah.
No, but it's horrible.
But it was like that.
That was the time,
and it's very.
I think
it's a very accurate depiction of what was going on during those times.
And that's what I think so too. And I think it's totally accurate. What I'm taking issue with is the fact that Dr. Blogstein finds it delightfully sexist, which I feel a little disturbing.
Well, look, it's television. It's escapism. It's fantasy. I kind of think it would be.
So your fantasy is subjugating women?
No, not subjugating women, but it in a world where you hire assistants to be your playthings, I find it interesting.
Uh-huh.
I just, it's not like I would ever...
hire an assistant to be your plaything?
No, I never have, and I won't ever. I mean, sure,
mm-hmm.
I looks is part of why I hire someone, but they have to have the resume as well.
Uh-huh.
I hear an echo. Who's got their...
Sorry, Doc.
Vinny, you've been on the show for how many months now?
Sorry, Doc. I just walked over by the computer. There's somebody listening on the computer.
All right.
But anyway, the show is amazing. I think it's fantastic. It's by one of the writers of The Sopranos, and everything about it is so authentic. They take, I've read a lot of articles about it, you know, in the Times and things like that. They really pick out the props that are, you know, exactly what the era would have offered. I mean, the costumes are amazing, the acting's fabulous, and the characters are pretty hot too. Vincent Kartheiser is my favorite. And
who's that? The guy who plays lead, Don Draper?
No, not Don Draper. Pete, the kind of the slimy 26-year-old junior exec. I love him.
Yeah. You know, it amazed me. And I could talk about this all day, but we have a guest, Jessica Dorfman Jones, who was hanging patiently. I would say patiently if she didn't just call me on her my cell phone because we weren't taking her. But she's hanging on, and I'm saying this with a smile right now, Jessica. Don't be scared. Who's hanging on? So I'll get to you at once. Well, I'll get to you right now. Why not? Why not?
Before she hangs up, Doc.
I know. Jessica Dorfman Jones is the author of The Art of Cheating, and she was so desperate to get on the air right now that I had to have a conversation with her on my cell phone.
Are you mocking me?
No, I'm yelling at you.
So that means he likes you because he yells at only people he likes.
Oh, well, that's really good. I was confused with this newfangled blogging. I didn't understand what to do. So
I understand. You know. Well, you did it right the first time.
You'll be merciful
and you panicked. You panicked, and then you hung up and called my cell phone. But it's
no,
like,
I was thorough. I think thorough is a little more appropriate. Yeah,
one man's panic is another woman's thorough. Jessica, you are on with me, Dr. Blockstein. The female voice you hear is the beautiful Jane, and the other male voice is Vinny.
Hey, guys.
Hey there.
Your book, The Art of Cheating, I'm reading on the press release that I hold in my hand right here. You're being called the new Fran Lebowitz, which begs the question, who is Fran Lebowitz?
Are you kidding? Oh,
I'm not kidding.
Dr. Blockstein, that's terrible. Fran Lebowitz is one of the funniest writers ever, so that's really high praise. She wrote a book called Social Studies in, I believe, the early 80s that is beyond hilarious and kind of the blueprint for David Sedaris and all of the David Sedaris imitators.
Are you a David Sedaris imitator?
No, not in the least. Just an admirer.
So even though you write a book about cheating, this entire book is original. You did not cheat.
You'll see there is no chapter in here about, you know, ripping off David Sedaris. So I think I'm in the clear.
Now, I enjoy this book. I think it's very helpful, and I would like to know what your husband thinks about it.
Oh, he's extremely supportive. He is.
Is he supportive? But doesn't he? I mean,
hilarious.
You wrote the book on cheating. You talk about faking orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doesn't your husband worry?
Isn't he panicked and nervous and anxious, just like I am
when I
call you four times to get on the show?
Well,
no, he's not. He, you know, the really fun part about writing this book, it's not that this is all my personal experience, obviously, right? I would hope, obviously. You know, this is a huge amount of research that went into this. And I wrote the book because I wanted to write a parody of self-help. I think that, you know, it's a category of books that is begging to be made fun of. And so, you know, there it was. And I was trying to think of a good subject matter, and cheating just was the obvious answer, because self-help books are all about being a better person, and cheating is all about being a louse. So that was that. And, you know, I interviewed tons of people, and I did a lot of research, and all of this stuff is really, you know, it's, like I said, it's well-researched, it's fact-based, so it's not so much, you know, that I've done every single one of these cheats successfully, but I've learned all about those who have. So I think my husband rests easy, at least for now, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you call it a parody, self-help book, but it's actual, if you want to be a better cheater, it will help you, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is absolutely true that if you decide that you want to explore the world of sleeping your way to the top, or cheating at poker or on a polygraph test, you can figure out exactly how to do it from this book.
Is there a chapter on OJ in here?
There's no cheating your way out of a murder rap, unfortunately.
Only the money can do that.
That is entirely true. It'd be a short chapter. It's get rich.
Yes.
That's it.
I was, we were, before you came on, we were talking about, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Mad Men.
Yeah. I heard a little bit of Jane having a fiery exchange with you about objectifying one secretary. And I thought, Jane, that you were talking about Californication.
Oh, I haven't seen that one, actually.
You haven't seen? Well, no, that's another show where a secretary has a lot of there's a lot of spanking, a lot of S&M going on with an agent and his secretary. So,
wow.
You ever see the
I think it's a theme on TV right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a little disturbing. It's, you know, at times I know that they're trying to be really authentic on Mad Men, and I really appreciate that authenticity. But if it's like, I don't know, is this like a latent male fantasy being acted out or something like that on television? Is it part of a larger trend? I mean, maybe that's another radio show to talk about. But
yeah, I think that is a great subject, Jane, and next time, like, bring me on for that discussion. But I think what you're really touching on is the whole dom-sub issue. So less secretaries and more a little S&M.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Doc, I was just we had a question from the website. Jessica has a website.
Yes, I have a website called, it's just artofcheating.com.
Okay.
And you can read about the book, and if you want to anonymously submit your best cheat ever, you can do so, and whoever does the best one each week gets posted as the cheat of the week.
Oh, very cool. I'm sorry, Doc.
I would like to invite everyone in the chat room to tell Vinny their favorite, their best cheat ever, and what Vinny decides is the best will get a free copy of this book and a prize.
Fantastic.
Okay.
That's right.
Great.
You are rewarded for listening live. And now, Vinny, you were interrupting me before. I'm sure it was for something very important.
I was just curious. I was going to ask Jessica what her favorite chapter to write was.
Oh, that's a really good question. And I don't know, I think, you know, each one of these chapters had its own charms for sure. I can tell you that I'm not a card player, so just by virtue of having written these chapters on poker and blackjack, I certainly learned, how to play cards, and that was useful. But my favorite cheat was the last one in the book, cheating death.
Yes.
It's the wackiest one. It has, the most bizarre tips. And again, all of this was research. So when I was looking this up, I just could not believe the industries that have cropped up around, people trying to achieve outrageous longevity or just cheating death altogether. And, because it's such a wild and woolly, bizarre field, it allowed me to really get crazy with my writing and be just a little more colorful. But in writing that chapter, I have to tell you guys, the thing that made me laugh so hard was that, it's an urban myth, but it's also sort of true that there are these companies that will freeze you if you're ill or facing death. And the
Walt Disney frozen?
Well, urban legend, but there you go, and that's in the book. That's the first urban legend that most kids hear, that Walt Disney is a popsicle someplace, but he's not. And what people
Ted Williams though is, right?
What's that?
The Ted Williams, the baseball player?
Oh, yeah, I believe he is.
Yeah, they froze his head.
I believe he made it to the dry ice machine. But the
that was actually a storyline on CSI. I believe it was last night or the night before last. Sports star who wanted to be frozen, cryogenically preserved, yes.
Oh, how fantastic. Well,
yeah.
There you go. So it's a trend. We're going to replace our sub-dom discussion with the trend of cryogenics. But
yeah.
the wacky thing about it, and what made me laugh so hard, was that, I don't know exactly what the legal ramifications are, but you can't freeze someone who's still viable. You can only freeze them at the exact moment of death, which begs the question, how are these people going to be revived if they're actually dead? So all of these cryogenics labs have dead people frozen, not people who are alive and in some suspended animation, which I thought was great.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I mean, I remember, wasn't Han Solo frozen, but he was still alive at that time.
Exactly. Different scenario
right here.
So yeah, there's a lot of wacky stuff.
How much of this have you done? Have you cheated on your taxes?
Never.
Have you cheated on a diet?
Absolutely. Daily.
You have. You've cheated on a diet.
Yes.
What's the point of a diet if you cheat on it?
Well, that's actually the point. You know what? A lot, and that was another really funny thing. There are a lot of unexpected little factoids here, but people who cheat on diets are cheating on diets simply because they want to appear to be on a diet. No one really wants to lose weight, and really get into it if they're cheating. Obviously, they haven't made the commitment. Our culture is so demanding and so harsh with people, with their appearance, that it's gotten to the point where if you just appear to be on a diet, that's good enough. You have to be suffering. You can't just sit down and enjoy your pizza. You have to look like you're just miserable. So that's what this is about. It's how to look like you're in total pain and misery eating celery sticks, but then you can go home, sit down on the floor with an entire chocolate cake and a spoon, and go to town.
Yeah, Jane, because I know you particularly don't like fat people. You've said that before.
Jane. You're twisting my words, Dr. Blockstein. Twisting my words.
Are you a perpetrator? Are you someone who's forced people into sitting in the closet with a box of Twinkies?
I hope not. Good Lord. I think that I'm more concerned with my own weight than everybody else's. But
Outstanding answer. There you go. But I'm sorry, Dr. Blockstein. I riffed while you were in the midst of asking another question.
Yes, yes. What?
How else
would you like to incriminate me, Dr. Blockstein? Are there any other ways?
Well, never mind. Have you faked an orgasm?
Absolutely.
When was the last time?
Not recently.
Would you do it
How's that?
Live on
How's
the,
that
would
for
you do it live
a
on the
Oh, good answer.
Would you do it live on the air right now?
No, absolutely not. But I will tell you that I remember in college. College was a time when there was a lot of orgasm faking. Because boys at that age did not know what they were doing. So
it's so
just
true.
Needed to go to sleep. You're like, oh, you could, well, just stop. Like, just stop. And how do you get a boy to stop? That's how you do. It's like, oh, thank you, you're fabulous. You're, oh, there's nothing better than you. Amazing.
I can imagine. I faked a lot of orgasms in college. I was all by myself, though.
Oh, sad. You know what? Hey.
Where's the drums? Where are the drums?
But guys do fake orgasms, and they fake them frequently for the same reason that women do. They just, it's not, the sex isn't going anywhere. They just want it to get over with.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Yep. Me too.
All
Jane,
right.
Would you like to fake an orgasm right now?
What'd you say?
Would you like to fake an orgasm right now?
Would I like to fake an orgasm? No, because I've never faked it.
Would you like to have a real one right now?
Absolutely. I mean, wouldn't any woman?
Good for you, Jane.
Jessica Dorfman Jones. The Dorfman is your maiden name?
Yes.
Jones
yes,
is your maiden name?
Yes, that is
name?
True. Yes. So, and I put Dorfman on the cover of the book to give my parents a little nachas. But, you know, Jessica Jones is also such a very, you know, I get a lot of grief for that name. Is, are you a stripper? Are you a talk show host? So I thought I'd spice it up a little with my original roots. Get that.
Well, name. You have a great voice. You could be a talk show host. You wrote a good book, The Art of Cheating, a nasty little book for trickery little schemers and their hapless victims. I think everybody should want to buy this. It's a great Christmas gift, and Christmas is right around the corner.
Thank you for saying that. Good plug. And hey, you know what? It's a great book for guys. When you can't figure out what to buy for a guy, perfect gift book for men.
You're absolutely right. There are short chapters, good for one sitting on the toilet each.
Exactly. It's toilet reading, and it's about bad behavior. What more could you ask for?
I don't know.
See?
Jessica, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Have a great night.
All right. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Did you know, Jane, who... Fran Lebowitz was?
Yeah, I've heard of her. Yeah, but I probably couldn't name anything that she's written off the cuff, but I've heard of her definitely.
Yeah, she kind of made me feel stupid not knowing.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, she was talking about like a book in the early 80s. I was watching the Smurfs in the early 80s.
Which is why I knew who she was, Doc.
Oh, you did, Mr. Gray?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. Sorry. Yeah. The chat room has gone crazy with conversations that have turned into why fake an orgasm. Most of the women feel like if you fake an orgasm, how does the guy ever learn?
That's true.
And what does it get you?
It gets you to
sleep. Well, I guess that's what Jessica said, right?
Yeah, if you're just bored, why not?
We have two stories, and I'm not sure, you know, you'll pick the winner. Nikki said she's cheated death, but she has not told me if it was a medical cheat or not.
Vinny, you're in charge.
Okay. Okay.
That's your job. All right. We got lots of callers on the line. I'm going to have to – I feel awful about this, but Phil, I have to cut bait on you because I need some of these lines. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right? Just do me one favor.
I'll do you anything.
Turn that hat around forward instead of looking like a dwarf with a hat on backwards.
You don't like the hat on forward? What Phil is referring to, for those of you listening on the replay, is that while the show is live, we have a live webcam so people can watch me do the show, which for some reason is very popular. I think I know the reason. It's because I'm increasingly handsome. But you like the hat forward better than backwards, Phil?
Yes, much better.
All right, for you, I'll do it. It's going to make a lot of noise on my headset, but it's worth it. There you go. Call back at the end of the show, Phil. I'll be able to get back to you, all right?
All right.
All right. There you go. I think we also have – do we have the weatherman here early? Because I might have to cut bait on him, too. I need the line.
Yes, you do.
Would you be terribly heartbroken if I hung up on you?
No, not at all, but I'm offline, so this is my only way of communicating tonight.
Okay.
Why
don't we do the weather now? Let's do the weather now. Why not? Why do we have to be stuck into routines where we do it at the end of the show? We can just do it right now, right?
Well, I got... Oh,
come on, Dr. Blockstein.
History,
very excited.
All right.
It must be raining men.
Ooh,
I am the weatherman.
I cannot encourage these noises coming out of you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was taken away with all the soul. I mean, I dialed in, and the first word I hear is Nachem.
There we go.
Hello?
Yeah, what happened? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Oh, you scared me before. Say potato in the chat room.
You know what? I got to tell you. The first.
They all want your hat on backwards, Doc.
They want my hat on backwards?
Yeah, all the ladies think they want your hat on backwards because they can't see your eyes.
I did.
And you're hot.
Oh,
and hot, and you're hot that way, Nikki says. She thinks you're hot with the hat on backwards.
Is this eHarmony? Come on.
Next week, I did this for Phil. Next week, my hat will be back.
Wow.
I'm scared there. I didn't hear anything. Hi, potato in the chat room. Hi, potato in the chat room. Hi, potato in the chat room. All right, Justin, it's your time now. What's going on?
It's kind of raining out. Who the hell knows? But the first frickin' word I heard on this radio show tonight was naches. What the hell is that? I mean, are we at a bar mitzvah?
Meshuggah. We got a lot of Yiddish.
I love the fact that she was talking Twinkies and also talking about fake orgasms.
What, I mean, fake cake and fake orgasms. What more do you want?
Do not understand a word these people are saying tonight. I'm off my game tonight, Dr. B.
And why is that?
Love lost. What can I tell you?
Oh, what happened?
The maple strip went south, and I'm not talking about Italy, baby.
So the internet date that you had a second date in Europe, it's over?
Yes, it is over.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I was more surprised than shocked because 5 minutes before the man proclaimed that we were off our game, so to speak, he proclaimed to all of his friends that I apparently was his boyfriend, which was news to me. So a little bipolar, I think, was around. But I'm better to get out of it before in it because you don't want to get around bipolars, you know what I mean?
I hear you. And can I just do this for a second? Because, you know, I was concerned. The first, you've been telling this story for 4 weeks, and we've always referred to the date as the date or them.
Yes.
But I'm glad that we can comfortably
say that man. Well, it's rated man.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
I'm willing to bet we weren't fooling anybody.
Listen, I got all excited when somebody said Twinkie, okay? So get over yourself. But you people, I mean, the world is a big place with a lot of different kinds of people. So get up and smell the roses. Tell that to that chat room.
Yeah. Tell the chat room to smell the roses. And while they're doing it, type potato.
You know it's true.
Well, they are. And they're also typing artichoke.
I would like to know, can I interrupt for a second? What's beeping? I hear a phone beeping. Who is that? It's been happening all show.
I don't hear it.
I don't hear that either, Dr. B.
Oh, do I have ringing in my ears? I apologize. I'm sorry. I've been so
Are you faking a ring?
Yes, I am faking a ring. Well, Justin, I'm gonna.
Yes, tell me to go because it is raining and it's hot. And God bless everybody.
God bless you. Next week, a big show for you, and you'll find out next week, all right?
Oh, God, I'm getting excited. I'm going to fake an orgasm. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, I didn't want to hear him fake an orgasm, although
yes,
I do like
that. Yes, let's not hear that.
He's a nice guy. Don't want to hear a fake orgasm from him. By the way, I did not get my B2 vodka in time to drink it on the air. I promised to do that once I got it. I thought I would get it by now, but I haven't. Vinny, did you get your B2 vodka yet?
I have not.
Now, did you get I sent you a package overnight. You should have.
I got it today. It was sitting outside my door.
Oh, good. So you have the books that we're talking about today, one of which we
Absolutely.
Already did, The Art of Cheating. Have you given away the book yet?
Oh, boy. You know what?
There. I heard the beep. Did anyone else hear that beep?
No.
Oh, that's all.
I'm not hearing a beep. And Nikki says she's not hearing a beep either.
Oh, I need a vacation. All right, go on.
Okay, I'm still trying to really find a winner. There's a lot of the people in the chat room don't like cheaters.
All right. If there's no winner, there's no winner. What can I say?
Well,
I have a call. Don't know who it is. Might be for later. 623, who's there?
Hello, Blog Talk Radio. This is Nikki.
Hello. Oh, Nikki. Nikki is, let me play your promo here. Nikki is, what's the name of your show?
Nikki Rocks the Politics.
Nikki does a political show on Blog Talk Radio in the morning. She co-hosts it with one guy from Dave O'Dean, who's from My Point Radio, and also from Sean O'Mac. Now, let me talk about Sean O'Mac for a second,
all
if
right,
I can.
All right, you do that, babe. You do that.
Sean O'Mac is another Blog Talk Radio host. He's the guy who takes credit for, and he did a good job. I mean, the television show on CBS Jericho about the nuclear holocaust that happens in Kansas, it was an awful show, so awful that no one watched it,
and it got
canceled. All right, you following the story so far?
Yes, sir.
All right, I know you know the story. I was hoping maybe Jane or Vinny would give me confirmation that they understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm following.
All right. Anyway, the show was canceled. So then this guy, Sean O'Mac, meanwhile, nobody watched the show, but Sean O'Mac was able to rally everybody that ever watched the show on his own show, which is remarkable. I mean, it shows the power of Internet radio to get the show renewed. So now it's on the mid-season replacement list. CBS renewed the show because of the firestorm that Sean O'Mac started. Impressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty impressive. It's happened once or twice before.
But never before on internet radio. I find it impressive, though the show sucks. Well, it looks like, as I'm seeing, that Sean has hitched his wagon to another winner. Have you ever seen the show Journeyman on NBC?
No, yeah. I've heard of it, though.
Yeah, it's Quantum Leap was one of my favorite shows back in the
day.
Yeah,
good show. Yeah,
that's great show.
Yeah, love it.
Journeyman is a weak-ass replica of it. And it's getting horrible ratings, even though they have a great lead-in, Heroes leads into it. It's getting horrible ratings. And now Sean O'Mac is like doing weekly shows about that. It hasn't even been canceled yet, but it's like he's doing preemptive save the show because he knows what's about to happen. All right, that's my rant.
I watched it for about 15 minutes one day, and I thought, well, yeah, I've seen this, and I've seen it done better.
Yeah, Quantum Leap was such an amazing show. All right, Nikki,
that's
I don't know what
great,
you called
yeah.
in for. I don't know what you called in for, Nikki, but let me play your promo and then we'll talk to you, okay?
All right, thank you.
You're very low, so try to talk more into the phone.
Hi, y'all. This is Nikki Starr from Nikki Rocks the Politics. On Tuesday night, Dr. Blogstein's Happy Hour rocks my world. Monday.
Oh, was there more to that promo?
Yeah. Just a little. That's
hi, y'all. This is Nikki Starr from Nikki Rocks the Politics. On Tuesday night, Dr. Blogstein's Happy Hour rocks my world. Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I rock his. My co-hosts are Sean O'Mac from Sean O'Mac Radio and Dave from My Point Radio. So make sure to tune in Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we rock the politics.
Now, that promo is only 28 minutes. It's 28
seconds
long, but it feels like it's 3 minutes long. How did you manage that?
Oh, because I really like you so much. You know that.
Yeah, I think I find it, and it's a good, you sound great on it, and it's a very effective promo. I think I find it boring because it's not all about me.
Exactly.
I lose interest,
right?
When you stop talking about me.
I know.
So, Nikki, what do I owe this phone call?
Okay, first of all, you need to close your chat out. I'm getting information from tech that we have two chats going, all right? So you need to close your chat
going?
Out. Yeah, for some reason there's two chats going, so.
All right, I close the chat, now what?
Yeah, and then reopen it, and that's good.
All right.
And that's all I had to tell you. Oh, no, that's not true. I did have one other thing to say. Look, your guest, okay, I just want to give this advice to all the girls, and I know Jen will agree. Do not ever fake an orgasm. Because then the guy will continue doing what is wrong, right?
That's true.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, that's all I really.
But what
say.
I mean, what if you're bored?
What? If you're bored, you tell him to move his finger or his tongue or his hand or whatever. You know?
All right.
Yeah. You don't just
yeah.
and be bored, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. You don't say I'm bored. You go, baby, it's not working, so move. All right.
Look.
A little over here. A little over
all
there.
Right.
Whatever.
Nikki. I got to hang up on you. We cannot talk about sex because we have our special guest on the line.
We do?
We will, but once I hang up on you.
Oh,
no more talking about orgasms. Vicky, thank you for calling in.
Then that's not what I meant.
What?
That's not what I meant. I mean, did you not have your guests talking about faking those?
No, that was one guest. Now I have a second guest.
All right, then. Just so you know,
we are a multi-guest program now.
Yeah. All right.
This is why. Well, let me leave you on the line for this. And Vince,
no, I'll be
there.
Quiet. I'll be quiet.
Vince, I'm going to get to you in 1 second. I just want to say this, Nikki. I have on good authority that Dr. Blockstein Radio Happy Hour is the best show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm telling you this just based on what I found out. You don't know how many times I've been asked by other hosts to come on their show.
Oh, yeah.
To talk about would you please be a guest co-host with me? Would you please come on and talk about this and talk about that? I'm not an expert in anything, but people keep wanting me.
Because you rock.
Because I rock.
That's right. All right, I'll talk to you later. I'm on the
all
chat.
Right.
Ciao.
All right. You're the best. That's Nikki Starr. She rocks the politics in the morning. All right.
She rocks the chat room too.
She rocks the chat room. All right, get ready for this. This is a guest for this is why I started this show, to have this guy on. All right.
I'm psyched.
Vince.
David. Or do I call you Dr. Blockstein?
Yeah, call me whatever you want. You are the man. Vince Flynn is the New York Times bestselling author of so many books, from the Mitch Rapp series. His new one comes out on Tuesday. That's next week. It's Tuesday, the 30th of October. It's called Protect and Defend. Vince, thank you for gracing us with your presence in the Radio Happy Hour.
David, thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and you know what?
I'm sorry I missed out on the orgasm part of the conversation.
We were discussing faking them, actually. Have you come into, has there ever been a situation where an orgasm has been faked?
There have been times where I have faked an orgasm, yes, that's correct.
Have you really?
No, it's impossible for a guy to fake an orgasm.
It's not, believe it or not, it's not.
How? I'd like to know. The guy must have volume issues if he can fake an orgasm. Put it bluntly.
Well, but you can't, I mean, I don't know, if you're wearing a condom.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. And then you get out, you leave the bedroom, and the gal doesn't know what, you somehow flush it down the toilet, which the water department does not appreciate. I suppose that's possible, yes.
It can be done. So you will
well,
not go on
to
the
an Irish Catholic kid. Birth control has never been my deal. it's not part of the equation. But women, you know, I had a gal once who used to do it and found out later, and basically 1 month later we were done. I figured
really?
If you're going to lie to me. I agreed with your guess, by the way, which you... You know, any woman you want to be with is going to tell you, hey, little to the left, little to the right, you know, slow down, speed up. But any gal who's going to fake it, you know, don't insult me.
That's a good point, because the first guest brought up, it was before you got on the line, but the first guest said that some women do it because they want to just go to sleep already. But that's not good for, you're not going to have a relationship with that woman.
You know what I like to tell my wife? I like to look at her and I say, all right, honey, you know what? I'm really not in the mood, so let's make this quick.
I'm sure she
knows
that.
No, she, you know, Lisa's got a good sense of humor. She gets it.
You should see this guy's wife. Looks like Barbie.
David, to say she looks like Barbie is an insult. She is a classy, beautiful Scandinavian. From Northern Minnesota.
Yeah.
My mantra on marriage, and you hear this all the time, is that it's a compromise, right?
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to meet halfway. So I like to say to my wife, fine, it's a compromise. I'll even give you the extra night. 7 nights in a week, you can take 4, I'll take 3. That's how generous I am. You get it? Hello?
Yeah. I think the problem we had there was your cell phone broke up in the middle of that.
Did you get the end of it?
I did. I don't know.
Basically, marriage is a compromise, okay? So
yeah.
I like to tell my wife, there's 7 days in a week, 50-50. I'll even give you the extra night 3 times a week. Are we good? If marriage
okay.
is really a compromise, you know, you should be able to, you know, sign the document there.
You're right. What I meant by calling her Barbie, I meant classy Barbie, not Malibu Barbie.
I don't know. When I tell her that you call her Barbie, she's going to be very disappointed.
The good Barbie, not the bad. All right, let's get into it. I don't know how we moved off this topic, so...
digress?
Yes, is that the word I was looking for? I don't know how we digress. Your book, Protect and Defend, this time around, I don't want to give away too much because reading it with a blank canvas in your mind is the best way to read it, but it has to do with Iran.
Correct.
You've done a lot of research, obviously, into each one of your books, so I would imagine you did a lot of research into Iran. Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, he denies it, but in your research, have you been able to confirm that in Iran they do have gays?
They have homosexual men?
Yes.
Is that? I have no firsthand knowledge, but I think most people would agree that there are homosexual people in every country on the face of the earth. It's and to call them abnormal is wrong. They are part of the human fabric. The estimates range from anywhere from 2-5% of the population.
I've heard 10% actually.
That it's interesting. That number, that 10% number, is based on a study that was done back in the 70s. And guess what the sample was for that study?
San Francisco.
The New York State prison system.
No kidding.
That study has never been replicated. Most reputable studies have it in the 2-5% range. And I always say we all knew kids growing up that we said that kid's gay. And you know what? Some kids are born that way. And so I'm a big believer in equal rights for gays. And Ahmadinejad, by giving that answer. It was funny. I think his that was the first time that he really offended the left in this country. When you hear about this, all the crazy speeches that guy has given, and I'm not talking, one or two times where he stood up and said that Israel should be wiped off the map. We're talking dozens of times where it has been recorded, not just in his own, not just in his sermons that he delivers at the mosque on Friday, but in interviews he's given to the Western media. Now, in the last 2 years, he's backed off saying it in the West. But there's plenty of times where he said it, and it's recorded. And the left has always kind of poo-pooed that. Oh, he's pandering to his base. Well, it kind of scares me that the idea of wiping Israel off the face of the earth is pandering to anybody's base, and we shouldn't be offended. But then he comes out and he makes the comment that there aren't any gay people in Iran, and what did the New York media seize on that week when he was up at Columbia? They freaked out over that one comment. They just couldn't believe that this guy was standing there saying this. That gives you an idea of how similar Ahmadinejad and his people are, in my mind, to the Nazis prior to the invasion of Poland.
Yes.
The Nazi party was very into, if you're going to lie, lie big. Just lie big and say it with a straight face, and if you say it enough, people will believe you. Go ahead.
Is Ahmadinejad as charismatic of a leader as Hitler was? I mean, can he get this thing going like Hitler did?
That's an interesting question. Adolf Hitler was – there's no doubt that I think Hitler was a more stirring orator. He would give extremely important speeches, and Ahmadinejad does not seem to have that – Germanic cadence that Hitler had, where he would it was like banging a kettle drum, and people would just get hypnotized by it. But Ahmadinejad, the deal with Ahmadinejad is he, like any good dictator, plays to nationalism. He builds up the U.S. and Israel and other Western countries as the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And if these people have any problem in their country, it is Israel's fault, and it's America's fault, and it's Great Britain's fault, and France's. It's never his own horrible policies. It's never the fact that they haven't bothered any refineries, and they're claiming to build these nuclear facilities for peaceful energy purposes, which is ludicrous. They have more natural gas and oil reserves than all but, I think, three countries on the face of the planet. And those are not going to dry up tomorrow.
Well, they maybe they're environmentalists.
Pardon me?
Maybe they're environmentalists. Maybe they're worried about the environment.
Well, you know, the funny thing with that is if you talk to most of the environmentalists in this country in the West, they hate nuclear energy.
Yeah.
So that argument doesn't fly either. What do you do with the spent fuel? You going to launch it into space? You know, we still can't get our stuff buried out in that mountain in Nevada. We've got these, you know, spent fuel from nuclear power plants all over the country, and we don't know what to do with it other than just encase it in concrete and keep it buried. So, you know, environmentalists don't like nuclear energy even more, any more than they like the combustion engine. So listen, the guy wants nuclear weapons, all right? The only reason why he doesn't already have them, amongst several, is that the CIA and British intelligence and the French and a lot of other groups have been very effective at trying to limit the items that he needs to build these facilities. I don't know if you know, but last year, two of the top Iranian scientists were killed in Iran.
By who?
Well, there's lots of speculation. Most people think it's Mossad that did it. We also had one of their top scientists defect in Turkey earlier in the year. You know, we are actively going after these guys, trying to do anything we can to throw roadblocks in front of them developing this program. And for good reason. You know,
yeah.
The UN's not going to stall it. Everybody forgets. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, presidential nominee Kerry has been very fond of criticizing President Bush and going over and over again, talking about how we should have gone to the UN and we should have done this to the UN. The UN could have handled it. Everybody forgets that, and most of us knew this before we went into Iraq, but remember the old oil for food scandal?
Yeah.
Kofi Annan's own son was on the tank. The UN was rife with corruption where you had these guys, these UN officials in Iraq that were taking hundreds of millions of dollars in bribes so Saddam could sneak his oil up through a truck convoy that he ran up through Turkey and into Syria, and he'd get cash for that. He was rebuilding his army. Against all of the UN resolutions that had been passed, we had UN officials on the take. Nobody was doing anything to stop it. And the only thing he was supposed to do with that money, legally under the UN charter, was buy food and medical supplies. And remember, they used to show pictures of the little babies dying in the hospitals because they couldn't get incubators? Well,
yeah.
Mom would buy incubators. He wouldn't buy them. He and his goofy son, Zudan Kusi, were too busy expanding their porn collection in palaces and buying more and more weapons. I mean, this panacea idea that the UN will solve all of our problems is ludicrous. Now, I'll be the first to admit, the idea of going in and starting a war with Iran is not a good option at this point. So what do you do? Do we let them get the bomb? I don't think so. No, that's not an option either. But what you continue to do is the Western intelligence agencies have to continue their coordination of foiling these guys at every step. And if that means freighters with nuclear components on board mysteriously sink at sea, so be it. If that means scientists who go on vacation mysteriously go out for a swim and don't make it back to the beach, so be it. This is the type of stuff, you know, we've talked about this, David. I call it, you know, my grinder philosophy. Americans like their sausage. They don't want to see how it's being made.
Are we back on the gay topic again?
Oh, Jesus. You are bad.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to talk to your publisher tomorrow. words with them. No, but, you know, we are a civilized society, and we do not like to think of do not like to think of their government running around assassinating people. But think back to the lessons that we learned from 9/11. If we had simply gone and killed Saddam Hussein, like we had a couple of chances, and like the Joint Special Operations Command was recommending that we do, if we would have done that.
Or you say Bin Laden?
What did I say Bin Laden or Saddam?
You said Saddam. Is that what you meant?
I actually think both of them, but I definitely Osama Bin Laden.
Right.
But with Saddam, you know, the interesting thing there was when we started that war, I was doing an interview here in town on KFAN, and I was anxious about one thing and one thing only. I have always felt that this battle is about religion, and I do not think it's about Christianity, and I don't think it's about Buddhism or Hinduism. It's about Islam, and to a certain extent, it's about Judaism because Islam has such a dislike for Judaism. But here we go, and so Afghanistan, we did it. That was the right thing to do for sure. But my one great reservation at the time when we went into Iraq was simply that we were attacking the only secular region in the entire country.
Yeah.
Or the only secular country in the entire region. And we were doing it at a time when we knew darn well that close to over 50% of that population, close to 60% of that population were Shia, who were aligned with Iran. And that was always my biggest fear. And we somehow thought those Shias would stay aligned with us and treat us like liberators. And I always feared, you know, they're going to be more happy to jump into bed with the mullahs and the ayatollahs in Iran than they are the Americans. And now what we've done is some of our better allies, I'm not a big fan of Saudi Arabia, but the royal family, at least, is a pretty good ally. And then Jordan, who's a wonderful ally, they're not happy right now. They are livid that we have created this problem where now the state of Iran is expanding, Shia is expanding. And to the Shia and the Sunni are like, you know, they're like Mets and Yankees fans. They actually kill each other. I mean, and we can laugh about it, but that the divide between those two faiths, you know, it goes back almost 1,600 years. And
yeah,
they,
quite a rivalry.
They absolutely hate each other. And so the Sunni, they're very nervous that they now have the Shia expanding in the region and making their life more and more difficult. And but you know, on a positive note, things seem to have stabilized in Iraq, or they are stabilizing. They haven't stabilized. But there's no denying that things have gotten better. But how we parlay that into treating Iran and getting them to move off a dime on this, part of me thinks that we need to get China and Russia involved and sit down and have a summit. Because
we can trust China and Russia?
I think that we can get them to see the wisdom of not allowing them to go nuclear. Here's the dilemma. China, if China plays this the way they want to play it, they really, I don't think, the main thing they want is oil and more oil. And they see Iran as being a big supplier of oil for them. And so we need to somehow get China to understand that oil supply will be disrupted if Iran doesn't stop this, if they don't stop going after nuclear weapons. And the Russia factor, I do not know, because what's going on there now is we've got Putin in a position where he's doing a little bit of the Ahmadinejad, which is he is going to appeal to the nationalistic fervor that is now rising in Russia. And part of the way he's doing that is to show that he's tough against the U.S. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a much harder sell with Russia. And Russia doesn't need oil. You know, they're exporting more and more oil to China, for instance. But we have to start doing some diplomacy. I also think that Ahmadinejad is one more severe recession away from being bounced. And I do think that there, and I've got a lot of friends in Washington who think I'm crazy because I advocate this. I think we need to explore the idea of having a summit with President Bush and Ayatollah Khatami.
Oh, my God.
who is the real leader of their country. And
well, those two are going to sit down together?
I don't think it's the worst idea, David. And I'm not, and I just think that if we...
I think we lost Vince.
Did we? I'm here.
You're here, but where's Vince Flynn?
He went away.
Whoa. And now I'm hearing echo.
Echoey.
Who's echoing?
I don't know.
Not me. I have nothing on.
I don't have my speakers on.
Oh, my goodness. Great. This is fantastic. Once again.
It's like we're doing a show from a cave or something. It's very weird.
I know. This sounds like we're doing a show from the cave. Hello. All right. Am I echoing also? Because I can't hear myself.
Yeah, me you are.
I'm echoing too. Is there someone in the chat room that can help? Nikki, maybe?
Maybe we should do a test show.
Yeah, well, the problem, I got to tell you, Doc, the problem is there's like, two or three chat rooms going on right now.
Well, how did that happen?
Well, there's other windows open that are still working within the Blog Talk website. We've got at least two windows open.
I have no idea what you mean by that, but I need to
there's
dump
two
some...
different chat rooms.
Vinny, I hate to do this to you. I have to dump one of you because I need the line for Vince to come back. Oh, never mind. I got him right now. I apologize. Let's get back into business. All right, Vince, we lost you.
Sounds right.
You back?
David, I thought maybe they dumped me because it was 9 o'clock.
No. We actually put in for another half hour for this show because I knew we would run long. You want to give away some books?
Sure.
All right. Let's give away some books. We're giving away some signed copies of the books. We're going to play a game called, what is this game called? Vince or Mitch? Vince or Mitch, I'm going to take a couple calls. These callers will be on the line. I will read them a fact, and they will have to tell me whether the fact relates is about Mitch, Rapp, your character, or Vince Flynn, you. You got that?
Yeah, and I'm coming back from the football game, so I'm going to step into the house, and if you hear the kids start screaming, I will try to get to my den and lock the door.
Okay. It was your son's football game. Did he win?
They lost a heartbreaker.
Ah, come on.
Lost a heartbreaker, 16-18 in the final second. He is very upset. Very upset.
And so am I. All right, now let's get Kristen on here. Kristen.
Yes?
Thank you for holding for this long. I apologize for the delay. Say hi to Vince.
Hi there.
Hi, Kristen.
Vince, you'll be happy to know Kristen is the leader of the pack, meaning the Operation Rat Pack.
Oh, thank you, Kristen.
KB, Kristen.
And I just signed off on doing that football deal.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
Kristen, would you like to very briefly explain what Operation Rat Pack is, what the football thing is, and how people out there listening can help?
Sure.
This is a Dr. Blockstein exclusive. Okay, go ahead.
about a year ago, those of us on Vince Flynn's message board, thethirdoption.net, wanted to do something more for our troops. So we got together and asked if Vince and Chad, the TTO god, would allow us to advertise to send Vince's paperback works to troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so we've been sending full sets of his paperbacks, and his publisher matched through the holidays last year. And to date, we've sent 548 books to 75 different units.
That's nice, right, Jane?
Yeah.
Yes, that's very nice.
And we sent lots of...
Vince, I also want to... I'm sorry, KB, I was rude before, and I didn't introduce Vince to the other people on the line, which I apologize. Vince, you're on with Jane and Vinny, who is a huge fan of yours.
Did you say Vinny?
Yes, he did. Also Vince.
Oh, yeah. My wife always says she knows when we run into somebody who knew me when I was a kid because they call me Vinny.
Yeah.
All right.
That's where it comes from.
And Vinny is in charge of reading the chat room and seeing if there's any questions in there. Is there anything that came up during his interview?
A couple of people, you know, definitely agreed with him. KB?
Yeah.
Yeah, KB was agreeing with him in the chat in one of the chat rooms, and Dr. Anonymous also in the second chat room.
How come there are two chat rooms open? We'll have to deal with that later. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not for now.
All right. Kristen, we're going to give away some books. Do you understand the game?
Oh, of course. I've been studying all week.
Okay, good. You get five questions. If you get 3 out of 5, you win an autographed copy of Protect and Defend. Everybody else should go on to Amazon.com right now and pre-order yourself a copy of Protect and Defend by Vince Flynn. Right, Vince?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. You ready?
I get music and everything.
Oh, this is no half-assed organization here.
This is right.
All right. Has 4 brothers and 2 sisters.
Vince.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Yeah, all right, you're 1 for 1. Is that right, Vince? 4 brothers?
That is correct.
All right.
That's Vince. Not
and
Vince.
I promise that this is not stalkerish. I do promise.
and for a bonus question, what is Mitch Rapp's sole sibling's name?
Steven.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Very good.
I wish I could give you credit for that one, but that's not on my list. All right. Purported to be hung like a gerbil. Oh, wait, that's not...
Wait, that would totally ruin all of it for me.
I'm sorry, that's not fair.
David, you know, I will be talking to Judith, Carolyn Reed.
No, that's a trick question, because that's both of them. All right. Speak fluent Arabic and Farsi.
That's Mitch Rapp.
That's correct. Am I supposed to answer this, David, or are you?
I was waiting. I was going to play the music. I was silent for success. For success. Suspense. But you're 2 for 2. You're 2 for 2. All right. Now you have to just get 1 out of these last 3 right.
Okay.
Are you prepared?
I'm always prepared.
All right. Produced material ultimately put under security review. By Department of Energy.
That's Vince. Memorial Day.
Oh, you're good. You are.
Wow.
My other question is Protect and Defend being looked at by the State Department this time?
And why are you asking that?
Well, just because I, you know, what's going on in the world.
Have you heard anything that I have?
I do live 5 miles from D.C., but no, I have not heard anything.
I do know that the Press TV out of Iran did get a hold of the book and called it delusional.
Yes.
So that's your first review, Vince. But congratulations to Kristen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen.
You win a signed autograph copy. We'll get that personalized to you. Just email me your information, who you want to personalize to, and we'll get it to you as soon as the book goes out on sale.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity to play.
All right, but I hope that doesn't stop you from going to meet Vince Flynn at book signings in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
Right. Thank you, and thank you for all that you do for Operation Rat Pack. Everybody, I think you should go on to thethirdoption.net and send in books. Help the troops. They're bored out there. Are they really bored?
And shout out to my peeps on in the Rat Pack on TTO.net.
Yes. Now, how do they have time to read books? Aren't they being shot at?
Who?
The troops.
Well, they have downtime. They have to have downtime.
Yeah, but...
David, even your shooters in the special forces, you know, they'll go out on ops and they'll have, you know, a day or a couple days downtime before they go back out again.
Yeah, but there's no vacation now. I mean, what do you...
They work out and they read. David,
yeah, no matter where,
guys, they bring backpack. They bring a paperback into the field.
No, I understand. But how can
they
relax
all the time?
But how can they relax? I would be so tense. I would not be able to relax.
David,
yes.
you know, you can't be on all the time.
they'll rotate. They got guys on guard duty, and then you know you get a little nap, you lay down, you shut off. You know, they're
I'm just saying maybe that's why I'm not in the military. If I was in Iraq, I would not be able to relax. I would always be on guard. That's just me. I guess that's why I'm here. Okay, thank you, Kristen.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right, you too. We have one more player, okay, Vince?
Okay, and then I have got to get these kids to bed. We got issues.
Yes, believe me, I have to get to bed. We're later than I usually like to end the show. All right, so one more player, and then we'll all go to bed, not together. All right, who do we have now? This is Kat.
Hello.
Kat, is that you?
Yes.
This isn't the Kat from San Diego, is it?
No.
Okay.
Is there a story that you have to tell, Vince?
No, just I love your books. There's no story or anything. I'm just excited.
I want to hear Vince's story about Kat in San Diego. Is that someone?
No, she used to work at this great bookstore. She's a very nice woman, and then she.
No, just making sure. Just making sure you don't have girls in every port. You know.
Oh, David, I'm a happily married man. Don't do that.
I know. To classy Barbie. Now, was your wife Miss Minnesota?
David, you're gonna have to lose that, or she will. She'll just go. She'll die.
Yeah, you better watch it, seriously.
Yeah.
David, you don't have any sisters, do you?
I don't.
Yeah, to call any woman with a brain Barbie is an insult.
Oh, I don't mean it like that. I don't mean it like that.
Well, but I'm just telling you, ask the women who are involved in this show and are blogging at the moment, or in the chat rooms, let him know that calling a woman saying that she's like Barbie is not exactly the compliment that most intelligent women are looking for.
Yeah, I agree. I agree
okay.
with that.
I even know that much, Doc.
Yes, you have gray hair, Vinny. You've been around a long time.
Even Vinny from the block knows that, Doc.
Before I get to Kat, and Vince, forgive me, I just have to ask you this one question, because believe it or not, DrBlogstein.com, when I checked the statistics, a lot of people come via this search. They're looking for information on Mitch Rapp movies. Is there anything you can report?
No. Thank you for ruining my night and bringing up a very sensitive subject.
Okay.
That ruins my night, too.
I'm sorry, Kat. All right, Kat, you ready to play?
Yes.
You know the game. We're playing Vince or Mitch. All right. Question number one. Now you have a tough act to follow because Kristen got 3 for 3. All right.
I heard.
Graduate of Syracuse University.
Mitch Rapp.
Oh, they're good.
One for one. All right. You're good. All right. Number two. Has a bum knee.
Mitch Rapp.
Wow. Are these two easy, Vince?
That's both, David, by the way.
Oh, they both have a bum knee?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
Can't talk about it.
All right. These questions are too easy, I guess. Part American Indian.
Vince?
Actually, both. That was a trick question, but you're right. Congratulations, you were 3 for 3.
What are you talking about? It's both.
That's what I said. Oh, that's true. Okay, you're not right. Fine, it's both. Vince's not giving up this last book easily. All right. All right, Kat.
No, I think we should give her the book. I think we should give Kat the book. I think we should give it to her, but...
I'll take another question.
David, Randy Jackson said, I'm just trying to keep it real, all right?
Thank you, dog.
Dog.
All right, we'll give it to you. All right. Kat, you have my email address. Send me your information. We'll get you a book. Signed by Vince. All right?
Thank you.
All right, thank you, and thank you for being on hold for so long. I appreciate
that's
that.
That's okay. Thanks.
And Vince, there's no way I can thank you enough. Actually, there is one way, not that I can thank you, because I can't, but I can save face for all this Barbie talk. And also earlier on the show when I was talking about Mad Men and how the show is delightfully sexist, I would like to bring up something that you wrote in your book really quickly, and then you can put the kids to bed.
Okay.
All right. You said this I just want you to comment on this, and I'm going to paraphrase. It's something like, if there's going to be peace in the world, it's going to be because of women.
Did I write that in the book?
Something like that. I wish I was looking for it all day. I couldn't find it again. I can tell you exactly where on the page it is. it's on the left.
I talk about that when I lecture all the time. I think that one of the problems with the Middle East is that women are not involved in any way, shape, or form of the power structure. And it's created a big imbalance. You got a lot of testosterone charged men running around saying and doing stupid things. And until they get women involved in their politics, and they give women a voice in society, and they stop subjugating them and making them run around in veils and burkas and everything else, you're going to continue to see these men run off and hang out and at the cafes and the smoking shops and promulgate their stupid ideas. Men in this country for years hung out and did the same thing.
Yeah.
And, I don't think it did us a great service. And I think fathers today are better fathers because moms demand it of them. And I just think that there's a real imbalance in the Middle East with women not having a voice, and it's not helping the situation.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
And my one big point on that in regards to Hollywood is it drives me nuts that I remember being an Irish Catholic kid growing up in this country, and the Hollywood would go after the Catholic Church every time they got, every chance they got, because, their attitude was the Catholic Church was sexist. Well, the Catholic Church, especially today, but even in the 80s, treated women light years ahead of what's going on in Islam. In Islam, there are no female clergy. In Islam, you don't sit next to your husband. Most mosques, the women have to go sit in a separate room or the back of the mosque. Now, and I get the part of that, I understand, they say you're bending over when you're praying and everything, you don't need to get all charged up. whatever, figure out some way to, give women some power within that faith. And they won't because they're sexist. But does Hollywood ever go after them for that? Does the left in this country ever stand up and say, Islam, we're going to demand out of you that you start to give women a voice in your faith, in your religion? They did it to the Catholic Church. They still do it to the Catholic Church. So there's a real double standard with Islam in the West. And the interesting thing is you're starting to see countries like France. France is coming around on this deal a little bit, and Denmark and Norway and Sweden, they're starting to figure it out that these Muslim immigrants aren't really into becoming part of their society. And it's causing problems because these are countries that feel very strongly about a woman's rights.
Yeah.
And the right to free speech. My gosh, you draw a cartoon and you get death threats. My God, it's upside down. But
yeah, well, I almost got attacked today for being sexist. That's one of my co-hosts, Vince. You went above and beyond. I have to thank you very much. Thank you for joining
David,
us.
David, I appreciate
Radio
it.
Radio Happy Hour, everybody, go out and buy, protect, and defend. Vince, thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy. Bye bye.
All right, have a great
night.
All right. That was fantastic. Let me get this last caller, then we can go to sleep. 831, if you want to speak to Vince, I really apologize. Who's this?
It's Catherine, Dr. Bugstein, and I'm just here because there were four chat rooms and I was lost, and I just wanted to listen.
Catherine, did you get your vodka yet?
I do not have my vodka yet, Dr. Bugstein.
Yeah, don't worry. I didn't get mine either. Neither did Vinny, so I'll have to check on that for you. Catherine won our vodka last week. You see what happened, Jane?
Good.
You miss a week. We're giving away vodka.
I know. That would have been the best week to be here.
Yeah. Well, Vinny, anything left in the chat room that's worth saying? I appreciate everybody for bearing through the technical difficulties in the chat room, the momentary echoing on air. I hope we did a good job with Vince. Did you enjoy that, Vinny?
I did. It was really interesting to hear some of his thoughts, especially the last thought on the problem and they're not with women.
Yes.
I think it's a huge key to what's going on and the problems that are going to be hard to solve here.
Right.
So,
I was going to bring up with Vince he's talking about how we don't want Iran to get the bomb, the nuclear bomb. I was going to propose giving them the nuclear bomb, delivering it from the air. As an option. I don't know.
Or three or four.
Yeah, why not? That could solve a lot of problems.
I'm also, I did enjoy his thoughts on, let's stop fighting the war. Let's use special forces and do that. I mean, boy, we could solve a lot of problems if we did more of that.
It's true. Well, that's why you have to like the Mossad. What movie was it? Munich? Yeah, Munich.
Yeah.
Yes, that was excellent.
Yes. No, that's not Vince Flynn.
Munich?
Munich was not Vince Flynn. What?
No, it wasn't him, but it was an excellent movie.
Oh, it was an excellent film, and the point I'm making is you saw how the Mossad acted in that movie. Cold, calculating, got rid of the enemies, got rid of the bad guys,
didn't
ask questions, just did their business, and it was over with. Just go and do it. The problem is talking too much, and that's what ends up being problematic and getting people into, as they say, quagmires. But the Mossad, they knew their enemies. They went out and killed them. If we had just done that, went out and killed everyone that had anything to do with September 11th, went out there, killed Bin Laden, killed whoever else was part of planning it, and didn't get distracted by Iraq or anything else, it would have been done and over with, you know?
I totally agree, and that's the premise, obviously, behind a lot of Vince's books and Mitch Rapp. I mean, he's the guy that you just send who takes care of a problem. And it's unfortunate we don't do more of it. I mean, there's certainly some of it going on. We just, you're never going to hear about it, and you shouldn't have to hear about it.
You shouldn't hear about it. That's exactly right.
Right.
You shouldn't
right.
have to hear about it.
As he talked about the two scientists who, all of a sudden they went, on vacation and they never came back.
Well, that's what he was talking about. Yeah, that's what he was talking about in terms of not hearing about it. And that's what when I interrupted his sausage story by making the gay joke. What he was saying was, we like to eat sausage, but we don't like to see how it's made. A quote, by the way, Jane, which was in one of the episodes of Mad Men I watched.
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing that a lot, and I've been hearing "loose lips sink ships" a lot. So that's been in a lot of the things I've been reading lately.
Yeah.
It's an old World War II saying.
Is that? Oh, yeah, that would be a World War II saying. Very, very cool. Well, thank you. Before I go, just about Mad Men, we were talking about Mad Men, and Jane, I'm sorry, I'm not sexist.
It's okay.
You did drop the F-bomb on me, so and by Barbie, I just meant that as a complimentary thing, just based on a very pretty woman. I did not...
But it's not a compliment.
But I meant it as a compliment. I did not mean it as an insult in any way. I think Barbie's smart.
Can I just throw one thing out here really quick?
I've had a lot of meaningful conversations with Barbie, so I think she's smart. Who wanted to say something?
Catherine did.
Go for it.
One of the things that we don't publicize very much is that although a lot of Islamic countries don't give women some of the rights that we enjoy here, the really dangerous thing is that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda have listed in their top three goals for taking out our culture is because of the rights that women have.
That's so disturbing.
And
that
we
disturbing.
Don't publicize that, and that really is one of their goals.
And not that I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter in any way, but it would really irritate them if she becomes president, wouldn't it?
I think it would irritate them, but I...
Although I think it would irritate a lot of Americans also. I think it would irritate.
Respect our power.
That's not fair to say, Blockstein. It's really not. She's doing really well in the polls.
Oh, I know.
Yes, she's doing really well in the polls here, but they will refuse to do business with her, and they will refuse to negotiate with her, and they will refuse to meet with her.
But we don't negotiate with that. We shouldn't negotiate with people like that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and Condoleezza Rice has done a lot of, she's gone out and met with people and things like that. I don't think that should be a reason to not elect a woman president.
It's not a reason not to elect a woman president, but I don't think we should pretend like it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that remains to be seen if it indeed comes to fruition. But what I was going to say, I just wanted to talk about another TV show before we go. We've got 6 minutes left. I don't know if anyone's seen Tell Me You Love Me on HBO. Anyone watch that?
Nope.
I
hate it.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
No, it's a horrible, infuriating show. It's so annoying, but I can't stop watching it because there's a lot of nudity. I just had to get that off my chest. All right. Thank you, Vinny. Catherine, thank you for calling in at the last minute. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you to Phil, who was with us earlier, and Justin, the weatherman. Jane, it's great to have you back. Are you with us next week?
Yes, I'm going to try my level best.
Oh, great.
If she doesn't lose a day over the weekend, she'll be fine.
I hope I lose a day over the weekend. That'd be a fun weekend.
Oh, well, if you do, you gotta tell us all about it.
I will.
And Vinny, thank you for taking control. I understand it was hectic there in the chat room.
That was pretty crazy. Yeah, chat rooms. I was trying to bounce back between a number of them to see if we could get any questions, but I think everybody's so confused. We didn't have a lot of questions for Vince. But
yeah,
I can't wait to crack open the book, and it's going to be first thing tomorrow. I mean, you know,
oh,
I'm
good.
Looking
I would
forward
love
to this.
I would love to hear your thoughts after you've read it.
Yep.
I'll talk to you next week, Vinny. And by the way, a lot of people told me that I was really mean to you last week. You know I love you.
I didn't think you were mean at all.
Really?
Compared to what you could be, Doc. I've seen you worse.
You know, I become such a nasty individual when things go wrong, and I apologize. I shouldn't be like that, Jane. How can I fix that?
Anger management classes or some yoga.
Or just say potato.
Yeah, everyone, before we go, I'd like you all to say potato in the chat room.
Say
potato in the chat room.
Say
potato in the chat room.
Or from the Honeymooners, Doc, when you feel it coming on, you do what Ralph Kramden was taught to do. Pins and needles, needles and pins, a man that's happy is a man that grins.
Those are words to live by.
Indeed.
All right, on that note, everybody have a great night. Same time next week, 9 o'clock. By the way, we were live for a whole hour and a half today. We did not lose a signal. I got special permission from the gods of BTR. All right, everyone, way past my bedtime. Good night, everybody.
Good night.